The next case on the court's docket this morning is 525-0481, Board of Education of Jasper County Community Unit School District No. 1 versus the Regional Board of School Trustees for the counties of Clay, Crawford, Jasper, Lawrence, and Richland, Illinois. Looks like we have two young spectators in the crowd today. Welcome to all of you who are here to participate in this case. Ms. Donnelly,
yes.
You are representing the appellant in this case.
I am.
You may approach the lectern and proceed when you are ready.
Okay, good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court, counsel. My name is Jennifer Donnelly, and as I just mentioned, I do represent the plaintiff appellant, the Board of Education of Jasper Community Unit School District No. 1, in this administrative review appeal. Jasper District 1 is here today to ask this court to overturn the decision of the Regional Board of School Trustees, which granted upon rehearing the Medes' petition to detach their property from Jasper School District and annex it to Dietrich Community Unit School District 30. Because, as we've set forth in our briefs, we believe the Medes' property is not compact and contiguous with Dietrich District 30. I think it may be helpful to begin with a short summary of how we got to where we are today. This case arises from the Medes' petition to detach their property from Jasper District 1 and annex it to Dietrich District 30. The Medes' property is located 1.5 miles, or nearly 8,000 feet, from the Dietrich District 1 boundary line. Between the Medes' property and the Dietrich boundary line are four other residential properties, all of which are located within the boundaries of Jasper District 1. So, in order to connect their property to Dietrich District 1, the Medes also sought to detach from Jasper District 1 10-foot wide strips of land that run through the four neighboring properties. Jasper District 1 opposed that petition at the administrative level on the grounds that the Medes property is not compact and contiguous with Dietrich District 1, as is required by Section 7-4 of the Illinois School Code. The Regional Board of School Trustees never actually made an affirmative finding with respect to whether the Medes property was, in fact, compact and contiguous. Rather, it denied Jasper's motion to dismiss so that it could hear the reasons why the Medes were seeking detachment in the first place.
Let me ask you a question. You said that the Medes property was not compact and contiguous. Maybe I misunderstand the law, but isn't it that the result has to be compact and contiguous?
Yes, after the annexation.
Right, so it doesn't matter where they start out, but the result of the detachment has to be compact and contiguous.
Yes, that is correct.
With Jasper County.
With the annexing district. So here, it would have to be compact and contiguous with Dietrich District 1.
Okay, so it has to be compact and contiguous with, right, Dietrich.
Yes.
Okay. But it can go ahead and separate from Jasper. It would detach from Jasper, right?
Yes.
Even if it were compact and contiguous.
Yes, if the petition was granted, the Medes property would be detached from Jasper District 1 and annexed to Dietrich.
And as I look at the map, it doesn't appear to me that a Medes property was compact and contiguous with Jasper at the time it started. Or was it because of those other properties in between?
It was compact and contiguous, yes.
Because of the other properties in between?
Because it's located in Jasper District 1 school boundaries. So the Medes property is encompassed in that.
Okay, so all of that was within Jasper?
Yes.
Okay. So the other four properties that Justice Cates is referring to were also in Jasper?
Correct. The last property is the only one that is adjacent to District 1 boundaries.
The Medes property?
No.
Okay, which property was the most contiguous to the Dietrich property?
Track number 5.
I'm sorry?
Track number 5.
Okay.
So, in other words, the three other pieces of property that provided the 10-foot strips, they had to get from the plaintiff's property across those three pieces of property that were not contiguous with the annexing district. And then when it hit that plot five or whatever you call it, that one, since it was contiguous with Diedrich, that gave, and they gave him 10 feet there, then that put Met's property theoretically in contact with the Diedrich school district.
Right. So track number five is still located in Jasper District School boundaries, but it borders the Diedrich District boundaries.
Right. And they gave up 10 feet of that
yes.
property line on that border
right.
for the Mets to,
right.
to be able to. Okay.
And then following up on that, I'm looking at Exhibit A, which of the record is C20, which is the map.
Mm-hmm.
So the Met, is it Met?
Meddy
property would be just beyond track five, just at the edge of track five.
No, the Meddy property is track one on that map.
Oh, I'm sorry, I have it reversed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Meddy property is track one. Track five was the closest to Diedrich.
Correct.
Okay, so one, two, three, and four were in Jasper.
All five are in Jasper.
All five are in Jasper, and five
track
is contiguous to
yes.
Diedrich. Okay. We have to get the language correct.
Yes.
Thank
it's
you
adjacent
for
to it. Connect, you know, it abuts.
Right.
With
understood.
Diedrich. Okay.
That's what I wanted to make sure, because you were going through the facts, and I think we have the facts. I'm more interested in the argument, not to cut you short, but and certainly the justices will ask. But this compact and contiguous language is how it has to end up, right?
Correct.
So can you talk to us about why this would not have been compact and contiguous, which is what I think your argument is?
Yes, that's
okay.
Correct. So
I've interrupted your note.
That's okay. I'll get back to those if I can.
You can adjust.
Okay, so as this court is aware, there really is no Illinois case law out there that actually considers the propriety of using this concept of strip annexation, which in this case is these narrow 10-foot strips of land to connect property to a school district in order to annex to it. But there is an abundance of Illinois case law spanning over a century where courts have interpreted similar statutory language regarding compactness and contiguity in comparable situations.
But those are, okay, so I'll stop you there because I think counsel would argue that the comparable situations maybe he doesn't agree with. We're talking annexation for corporate villages, towns, cities, things of that nature that involve infrastructure and things of that nature. School district has a different requirement when it makes these determinations, doesn't it? Requiring a full picture of the betterment for the kids' situation, the betterment for the community, so forth and so on, which is somewhat of a less burden on than the cities have when it comes to providing, say, sewer and water and electric and things of that nature. So when you say there's no case law on point to strip annexation, then there's nothing that prohibits this, the way this decision came down. But you're saying simply because there's some strip annexation cases out there involving totally different non-school district situations, that we should borrow from that reasoning in this situation?
Yes, because the school code does not define compact and contiguous. And this other case law that has been developed for a century does define it.
Well, there's one of the cases, I don't remember if you cited or your opponent cites it, regarding where I believe it was a school district that had allowed some of these detachments and annexations that created islands.
Yes, that's the Rockford.
Right, the Rockford case. And the Rockford case then allowed for petitioners, petition to leave the Rockford School District and go to a different one or vice versa. But there was no 10-foot strip. There was no nothing. And I keep thinking back to when these kids are probably too young to play this, but when you played tag and it was electricity to home base, you know, four people could stand there and touch, and the guy at the end who isn't actually touching home base is still on base because of the electricity, right? There was none of that in the Rockford case. So those parcels were surrounded by the school district that was, they were leaving.
Yeah.
So we have a different situation here. That case, I don't know how it applies, because we do have, unless we go with your argument, that the 10-foot annexations or the 10-foot strips are a ruse to allow for that continuous that touching to the other school district. But that wasn't the whole reason this court or this decision was rendered. It was based on 3 miles from the Dietrich schools, 13 miles to the Jasper schools. The fact that the family had family in Dietrich, the family went to church in Dietrich, the family participated in activities in Dietrich to the exclusion, I suppose they didn't do those things in Jasper because Jasper is further away. So how is this not in the overall picture in the interest, the best interest of these kids and then this family to move to Dietrich?
Well, Your Honor, those factors don't matter unless we're concluding that the property is compact and contiguous. That is a mandatory prerequisite that must be met before the regional board can consider these conditional
right.
factors.
But the only reason it wouldn't be is if we agree with your argument that the 10-foot strips is an impermissible way of creating that.
That is accurate, yes.
And there's no case law to suggest that school districts can't use that. And just to clarify my mind, too, Jasper allows some of these types of petitions, having people from the other school district come into Jasper, right?
No, they have not.
So those situations that were cited in your opponent's brief, those were misleading? Those
correct.
Were not?
The Burster petition was another case that went down the same
right.
time as the Medes in the underlying court. The district, Jasper, also opposed that motion on the same grounds. They did actually come in. The regional board granted that petition, and Jasper did not appeal that because we chose to appeal this one. I mean, we don't have to appeal
sure.
every single case. The Eifert petition that is mentioned in the record, that didn't even happen until after this matter.
And that was a reverse, though, right? That was where Jasper annexed someone into Jasper School District, right?
The Eifert petition was similar to this one, but because the Burster petition had been granted, the Eifert petition, the property was then compact and contiguous with Dietrich District 30 because of the...
But Eifert didn't leave Jasper to go to Dietrich. Didn't it go leave Dietrich to come to Jasper?
I believe Eifert left Jasper to go to Dietrich. Burster came to Jasper.
I thought it was the opposite, but okay, all right. So you have two cases that are similar, regardless of which one came or went.
They're not similar because they didn't involve a 10-foot strip.
They didn't involve any kind of... I thought the Burster did.
But they ended up compact and contiguous, what I thought you said.
But that's the same thing so based on what Justice Gates is saying, if we allow for the 10-foot strips to be a proper way of creating a contiguous border with Dietrich, then the result would be that the Medi property would be contiguous. Is that correct? If the 10-foot strips were allowed to be in play.
Yes.
Same as the Devers. Or, I'm sorry, same as the other, the one case that you were just referring to, that also had the 10-foot strip.
Yes, if the court found that a 10-foot strip can be used to annex property 1.5 miles away from the annexing school district, then yes, that would be the case. But here, this issue is similar to the Rockford case. Even though Rockford was islands, I mean, we're talking a 10-foot strip of land. You can't even get a bus on that land. And there's no way that Dietrich District can access the Medi property without traveling over Jasper School District grounds.
And I thought the Rockford case actually found that the islands were not permissible.
They did.
So, and that was even though there was a charter school involved.
Correct.
Okay. So they didn't allow, Rockford did not allow this to happen.
Because of having no contiguous border with the annexing district, correct?
Correct.
And I guess to piggyback on this, what difference does the, I know the judge, the trial judge relied on course of conduct in coming up with the decision in this case. What, if any, impact should that even have on this court?
It shouldn't. I mean, an agency like the hearing board here shouldn't be allowed to circumvent the law by creating this practice that violates it. So I don't think that that should have any impact on your decision today.
So, and following up on that, the when Justice Scholar is talking about the impact of prior decisions, if I put that in with what Justice Barberis is saying, he's saying that the result, if we allow this common practice, is to make the property compact and contiguous. I think that's what everybody's saying. If this were allowed, I just want to create in my own mind a picture of what this would look like. The Medi property would be compact and contiguous, right? If the annexation...
If the court says that it is, then it is.
Detachment.
Yes.
But what kind of the past practice of allowing this, it seems to me that with regard to these other properties, you might have somebody living in a different school district within the same parcel of property because of the properties in between the Medi property and where they begin with parcel number 5. Am I correct about that?
That is correct.
And when we talk about infrastructure being different than for a city, when we talk about a school bus, we talk about state mandated requirements for children, school buses, and getting school buses to the individuals, correct?
That is correct.
So do school districts have their own infrastructure that this court should be concerned about?
They absolutely do. And I think that we briefed that in our reply.
Right. And would you address that just briefly for us?
Yeah. So, I mean, school districts have to be able to plan, right? They need to determine how many buses they need, what routes those are going to take, whether there's any special circumstances with respect to, you know, special education, transportation, things of that nature. How many teachers are they going to need? They rely on coherent school boundaries. We shouldn't just be
allowed... What word did you use? Coherent?
Yes.
Coherent school boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Coherent.
As
opposed to compact and contiguous.
Similar.
Okay.
I mean, school districts rely on knowing which houses are within their boundaries so that they can plan on how best to serve the students in that area.
So and, I'm sorry. I was going to say the whole child consideration, which I think Justice Barberis was asking about, that is something that's considered after you determine the compact and contiguous.
Correct.
Language. Okay. Go ahead.
So, assuming that we find that the Medi's property should not have been allowed to use the 10-foot strips to go to Diedrich. I'm sorry, assuming we allowed that it should. How does that change Jasper's infrastructure for any other children in the area? And could, you know, say the neighbors of the Medi property. I mean, they're still going to run the same bus by the same route for any other children in that immediate vicinity, correct?
Right.
So,
but if we allow something like this to happen, and then people all over start doing this, same kind of, I'm going to borrow 10-foot strips from my neighbors 5 miles away to attach to this school district I want to send my kids to, 10 miles away, 15 miles away. I mean, where do we stop?
Well, I would say that, you know, it'd be a difficult determination, but if somebody lives 20 miles away from one school and 25 miles from another school, maybe the 20-mile strip would be the best way to go because they're closer to that school by 5 miles. So, I mean, if it makes sense, I think it could be doable. If it doesn't make sense, you know, to avoid a school district, you go 20-mile strips to go someplace else. That's perhaps a different story. But I still take issue with the fact that Jasper has allowed this in other similar situations, either to its benefit. And that was the other question I wanted to ask. And I know your time is up, and you'll have some time to rebuttal. But while it's fresh in my mind, let me ask, what is the detriment, what is the downside for Jasper if this were to stand and the Medis went to Diedrich?
So one of the downsides is that they lose the property tax from that property. Additionally, if other people get wind of this being allowed, and all kinds of other families might start pulling out of the district, so they're going to lose a lot more than just this one family.
Is Jasper, and I don't know these school districts, I don't know that they're, is Jasper School District considered a lesser district than Diedrich?
No.
In terms of educational opportunities?
No, it is
what
not.
What does the state scorecard say for the two districts?
That is a good question, and I do not know the answer off the top of my head.
Okay, well that would have answered
right.
your question.
So I have a quick question. I'm looking at this map. You know, I think my question is, what happens to all these parcels in between? And I think Justice Cates was talking about that before. I mean, you mentioned you can't get a bus on it. What if you built a house and it was on both sides of that line? You could theoretically have a child in one bedroom and a child in another bedroom, and they're in different school districts. Am I wrong about that?
That's right, because under the residency laws for schools, that could happen.
So this could create some really outrageous results.
It could.
That would be the same result, though, if someone bought a piece of property that straddled the county line and built their house right on the county line. It's the same situation, right?
Well, they probably wouldn't be straddling the school district boundaries.
Well, let's say that they did buy a piece of property that was on the school district line and built their house on it.
Then you'd have this problem.
Right. So it doesn't necessarily swing on this 10-foot strip. It could be that problem could exist without this problem.
I think it's much less likely.
I guess you have to look at the plat for the subdivision, right?
Yes.
Okay. You will have Ms. Donnelly some time for rebuttal after we hear from Mr. Myers.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and Mr. Myers, should you require it, we'll give you a few extra minutes since Ms. Donnelly had a little extra time based on the questioning of the justices.
In fairness, I timed myself and it was not 15 minutes, so.
Was it more? Or
no,
it was
less.
Okay.
I have much to say. So, if it may please the court and counsel, my name is James Richard Myers. I represent Matthew and Emily Medi. In this appeal, Matthew and Emily are here today with two of their daughters. They also have a son, all of school age. I have my script here, but I'm going to go off it a little bit because I want to try to address these questions that were asked. If you look at the infrastructure concerns of the strip annexation cases, they're out there. I acknowledge they're all out there. And strip annexation is not allowed if you're a municipality. But those places, if you have strip annexation of some 10-foot strips down to somebody's house that's a mile away, the city's got to run water lines, the city's got to run electricity, the city's got to have gas and sewer out there, and it's just impractical to run that kind of infrastructure down a 10-foot strip. Plus, this is too common, and all those infrastructure things, they want loops. All electric lines, they want loops. All sewer lines, they want loops, because if there's a problem with one of the lines, then they have another way to get you your municipal services.
But the city annexation cases that you're talking about, they don't use 10-foot strips. They usually limit it to 30 feet, I think, because of easement right-of-ways.
Could be. I mean, there's strips.
When
you're
talking about strips, nobody talks about a 10-foot strip because you can't run a power line down that.
Correct.
And so even with a 30-foot strip, they don't allow that in municipalities.
Correct. You're right. But the concept is a strip.
But this is much smaller.
It's a 10-foot strip.
What you're trying to do is much smaller, and school districts do have an obligation to provide snow removal for buses.
I don't think that's correct. I think the municipality has an obligation to do that.
Okay, but they need to make sure that the ability to pick up a child with a bus is appropriate.
So I think
whether they do the snow removal or somebody else.
That's an excellent point. And if you look at the map and what's happened here, there were two cases of annexation and detachment that came up at the same time, the Metis and the Brewsters. Mm-hmm. And the Metis wanted out of Jasper and into Dietrich, and the Brewsters wanted into Jasper from Clay. And they were both granted. They opposed both of them. That's true. They filed the same motion to dismiss based on this strip annexation theory. And then they appealed the Medi case. If you look at the Medi case, their property is in the district of Jasper. There's no change to anything they have to do with a bus. They would have to ride a bus around there anyway. But when you get to the Brewster property, which is down here, a mile and a half from their prior border, they now have to go out a mile and a half from where they used to be to get those kids. So to say that this Medi case...
Well, we don't know, first of all, that's not before the court. But second of all, we don't know what circumstances allowed for all of that to occur.
So we
can't consider that. And personally, I can tell you I won't consider that.
That's fine.
I don't know.
But the question was about the infrastructure and the concerns of the burdens on Jasper, and there really aren't any infrastructure burdens that change on Jasper because of the Medis leaving the district. There just simply aren't.
So there's no obligation in your mind for the Medis for Jasper to worry about picking up the Medi children?
Well, they won't have to. They're in Dietrich schools.
But when they were in Jasper, that would not have been an issue either.
They would have had to pick them up if they were in the Jasper school district.
And how would they have done that?
Well, they would. I assume they would have drove a bus.
I mean, would there be a road around this 10-foot strip?
There are roads around the 10-foot strip. They don't have to. The school district doesn't have to use the 10-foot strip. They're not restricted to their property.
That's what I'm asking you, is without this detachment, how would these children have been picked up by Jasper?
I assume that a bus up.
You don't know, right?
Well, again, I don't know.
You're making an assumption.
Again, I am making an assumption.
Okay, so I'm just asking if you know the answer to my question.
No, I don't. I don't know how to. Okay, that would be my assumption.
Just say it, and then we'll be done.
I'm trying to say it.
So could I follow up on that? Or, I'm sorry.
Absolutely, but you know what? This is not a debate. Just so you know, you're in an appellate court, and this is not a debate.
I'm not trying to debate.
So you need to be a little more respectful to the justices that are asking you questions, please.
I feel like I am, but I'm sorry.
If you continue, as the presiding justice, I'm going to ask that you be held in contempt.
I'm sorry.
So you are that close.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Justice Berger.
So with regard to the bus route, the Medis have been in Jasper School District, and they have been offered, or there is a school bus pickup for their property currently?
Yeah, I assume.
Where the other children in that area who utilize the school bus are picked up along that route?
Correct.
So there would be no change to the route for Jasper School District and picking up kids in that area if the Meddy property were annexed into Diedrich?
I wouldn't think so.
The only real question is, and it's not really an issue because Diedrich isn't here arguing they don't want the Meddy property, is that Diedrich would be required to pick up the kids.
Correct.
But I believe there was some testimony or some evidence that both mom and dad work in Diedrich and drive by the school.
Correct.
And would be dropping the kids off.
That's the testimony at the hearing.
So it's not really an issue with regard to the busing schedule or the infrastructure of the bus for this.
I don't believe that Jasper has any detriment to their infrastructure.
Gotcha. Okay.
The Meddys, we believe this case comes down to the issue of, well, there's two. There's the standard of review. We have a difference of opinion on the standard review, counsel and I. But it also comes down to what compact and contiguous means. In this case, I'm not sure you can argue that the properties are not contiguous because they are. They have 10-foot strips to them. That might be minimal contiguity, but that is contiguity. That separates the case from the Rockford case because there were islands in the Rockford case that had no contiguous connection to the district that they were trying to annex into.
Counsel, could you remind me, what do you believe that the standard of review is?
I believe the standard of review is that a clearly erroneous standard because this is a mixed question of law and fact.
So just to, I guess, reiterate from my understanding, the 10-foot strips involved in this particular situation would not require any type of infrastructure to be installed on them for this to be a workable situation.
That's correct. That's correct. And to jump again, there was the question about whether someone would be in two school districts, they built a house over this. It would be true that would be the case if they built right on the line as it exists now. But in the record, the Jasper County representative specifically stated that that was not a concern. It was not a concern about development on this 10-foot strip. So in this particular case, that's not a concern. But anyway,
what is to prevent a person who wants, or a family that wants to detach, from going to their neighbors and saying, hey, will you give me 10 feet so I can get into this other school district?
I'm not sure anything prevents that from happening, but then
but
individual...
But is that what happened here?
Yeah.
So anybody could do that, and we could have houses, as the school district is claiming, in different locations, maybe 5 to 10 miles away, 10 miles away, would give up the land.
That would be true if they didn't have to go petition the Regional Board of Education and get approval and meet all those criteria, including the main one that prevents the apparent big issue here about people 20, 30, 50 miles away wanting to do this is those people aren't connected to the municipality that they're trying to annex into. They don't live 3 miles from the Dietrich School, they live 50 miles from the Dietrich School, and they won't meet all the criteria about having their community be Dietrich and not Jasper. So all those criteria would prevent that.
What criteria are you talking about?
I'm talking about the criteria that had to be met in this case.
Well, I understand that there are a lot of criteria, but isn't the first one compact and contiguous?
I think that is one of the criteria, yes.
You don't think that's the first criteria?
I think that that's one of the criteria that has to be met in order to grant these petitions, yes.
Is it a conditional criteria? In other words, you don't get the other factors first before you get to that?
I'm not sure that's what the statute says. But even if it is, that's determined in a different way, and the strip annexation theory has never been applied to school districts. And there are differences between school districts and municipalities as to why you should not apply it. And the safeguard against anybody and a brother wanting to come into a school district is they can't just say, look, I've strung up 50 neighbors and now I'm one in your district even though I'm 50 miles away, they have to file a petition with the regional school board and not only show that they're compact and contiguous, but show that they are members of the community, identify with that community. And it's in the best interest of their children and the community at large to have this happen. And I would suggest that if you live 50 miles away and had a 10-foot strip 50 miles wide, you wouldn't meet those criteria. But, I mean, that's not what we have here. We have a 1.3 miles between where the Medes live and the district line.
And how far is the town where they go to church from up the Jasper School District?
It's about 3 to 5 miles.
3 to 5 miles.
You're talking from the district line? Are you talking from the actual town?
The actual town.
They live about 20 miles from Newton, which is the town that all the schools are in for Jasper. And they live 3 to 5 miles from Dietrich.
So they live, the child would have to travel 20 miles to go to the town of Jasper or to the school district? The school. The
school's in Newton. Okay. There's no town of Jasper, that's the county.
So it would be 20 miles.
Yes. There's testimony in the record about the length of that trip and how early the kids have to be picked up. I think it was 7 o'clock to get to school by 8:30 and then return. Significant time savings for the kids if they were to go to the Dietrich school.
So all of those considerations are something that the regional school board has to consider when it has one of these petitions before it, in addition to the contiguous nature of the property.
Correct. I want to emphasize, if I can, both parties cite the Rockford case. That's the case up north that had the islands of potential annexation that weren't allowed because they were not contiguous. In that case, they cite People versus Decatur School District. And they cite that case, and there's a quote from it that I think is relevant here, talking about the compactness of a school district. And it says in that case, that's Decatur, People versus Decatur School District 45, Ill App 2nd 33, again cited in the Rockford case. A compact school district is one so closely united and so nearly adjacent to school buildings that all students may conveniently travel from their homes to school buildings and return the same day in a reasonable length of time and with a reasonable degree of comfort. And I'm not saying that because I believe that's the legal standard that's in that case, but what I want to emphasize is in these cases about annexation and detachment, we're talking about kids, and we talk about the schools, and we're talking about what's in kids' best interest, and the focus is not just on where some lines are drawn. The focus is on children and what's in the children's best interest, tempered with what's in the school district's best interest, which in this case, we're talking about 10-foot strips, right? But the Medes or anybody else could go to their neighbor and say, hey, why don't you petition for your whole property? Why don't you petition for your whole property to be in the Dietrich School District and detached from Jasper? And then you have, 40-acre tracts down the way, all the way to Medes. That would be a detriment to Jasper County because they would lose more tax base than they're losing now. They're losing a 10-foot strip of tax base, not 40 acres of tax base times 4. So as part of a weighing, these regional boards have to weigh the students and the community and the districts that are being affected. And one of those is you can't take significant, you can't break the district that you're leaving. So one way to temper that is to only use 10-foot strips and not ask that the whole 80 acres and the whole 40 acres all the way down the line gets removed from the district.
Where do we draw the line under your theory?
I don't know that I know where the line is drawn. That would be a case-by-case basis in regional boards that decide these things for their school districts and their students, and they would have to decide that if somebody's 10 miles out with 10-foot strips, that they're probably not associated with the community like they are. Or if that's too much property, it's going to be too big of a burden on the tax base. The appellant wants to say this is a hard line rule and it's based on lines drawn on the map, and it's not. It's a conglomeration of all these different factors that include best interests of kids and best interests of communities, and compact and contiguous is one of those things that they have to say is met. And in this case, they did. They clearly did, because they brought it up at the hearing. They said, we don't think this is compact and contiguous, and the regional school board says your motion to dismiss is denied. So it wasn't brushed over. They actually considered it.
There may be a disagreement on whether compact and contiguous is something that has to be the result first, and then we consider the interests of the child and the community, or whether it's all intertwined at once. And I think your position, if I'm correct, is it's all intertwined at once.
Correct.
Okay.
And it is, you were correct that it's the after situation we look at. We don't look at the before. Who knows what the before is? But the after, both districts have to be compact and contiguous.
As a result of the detachment
and the annexation. That's correct.
Okay.
I have one last question. Yes, and that is simply, we asked council about the scorecard for the two districts. Are you aware of the scorecard?
I am. I think it's in the record in some fashion, but my understanding is Dietrich is exemplary and Jasper's about state average. That's my understanding. I think that was testified to in the...
Okay. I thought I recalled something about that, but that's why I asked.
Sure. Dietrich has better overall grades than Jasper.
Okay.
No questions? Okay.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Okay, Ms. Donnelly, Bob?
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. I just have a couple points that I want to make.
Okay.
First is probably more of a public policy note, but I think it's important here that the Meddies bought this property in Jasper County with full knowledge that they were located in Jasper School District. And I think that matters, because if we allow these kind of 10-foot strips to connect, artificially connect almost, a property 1.5 miles away from the desirable school district, it's going to cause all kinds of issues.
So you're arguing a public policy. Is it our purview to consider the public policy of something like this, or is that the legislature?
I absolutely think this court can consider the public policy.
The public policy of the child's best interest is also being asked of us, isn't it? By Mr. Myers? Isn't he asking us to consider the public policy? Did I misunderstand him?
I think that's probably an accurate depiction.
Okay.
I think
there's a lot of public policy floating around in this argument.
Yeah, and I mean, I think really you don't even have to get to public policy. I think this is a matter of statutory interpretation. I do believe the standard of review is de novo. This court has to decide what is considered compact and contiguous and whether or not these 10-foot strips can make a property compact and contiguous. And I would argue that even if it's contiguous, it's really not compact.
Go ahead. I was going to piggyback on Justice Case's earlier question about which comes first, which question comes first, or are they all lumped together? In your opinion, we have to address this strip annexation issue first. Is that correct?
Yes.
And under what authority?
7-4 of the Illinois School Code, which is titled Requirements for Granting a Petition, I believe, and it specifically requires the regional board to determine, and the petitioners have the burden of proving that their property will be compact and contiguous with the annexing school district if it's granted. So that is the first step in this process. After that is determined, that's really when the regional board should then move on to a hearing and consider these other conditional factors.
So why do you believe it's de novo review?
Because I do believe this is purely a matter of statutory interpretation. There aren't any disputed facts here.
So what you believe is de novo is what, but you agree that the property would be contiguous but not compact if detachment were allowed?
I do not. I do not believe that the 10-foot strips can establish contiguity. I believe it has to be a bigger, like,
Okay.
Wouldn't that base that on? I'm sorry.
Excuse me one second. I just want to follow up on this if I could. So I'm back at de novo review. The question of law that you want us to consider is what is compact and contiguous in light of these facts?
Yes, the question I want you to consider is whether or not the type of strip annexation at issue here, which is these narrow 10-foot strips of land, can be used to establish compactness and contiguity as contemplated by the school code.
Okay, so your position, as a legal position, is you can never use 10-foot strips to establish compact and contiguity. If I turn your request around, am I turning it around correctly, or?
Yes, okay. That is accurate.
Okay, that's what I wanted to understand. Okay, I'm sorry, Justice.
No, it's okay. I think we're good.
Okay. And I guess when you say there's no dispute in the record, I'm having a little trouble with that because I think they dispute what is compact and contiguous.
There's a dispute with respect to what the law is, yes, but not the underlying facts.
Okay.
I do want to just clarify. You said that when asked directly from Justice Cates, that it's your belief that it would not be contiguous, even if the 10-foot strips were permitted. Contiguous, and she just distinguished contiguous from compactness, and it would be contiguous if the 10-foot strips were allowed, as in her scenario, and the 10-foot strip touched the Diedrich School District and also ended up on the Meddy property. It would be contiguous. It may not be compact, as she was trying to get at, but it would still be contiguous, would it not, if the properties touched?
Well, I'm looking back in the cases that we cited with respect to the municipal annexation, where they have defined compact and contiguous. So, for example, in that Village of Streamwood case, the Supreme Court said contiguous must mean adjacent to and parallel to the existing municipal limits. And then it went on to say, to condone the unnatural and obviously unreasonable annexation as attempted by the village in that case would require the court to permit strip or corridor annexation, which has always been condemned by the courts of the state and has never been permitted by the legislature.
And that's based on the infrastructure requirements of municipalities, which we don't have here. So if...
Is that what that case says? It's an infrastructure consideration, Streamwood? Or does it just say strip annexation is prohibited?
Yeah, it just says strip annexation is prohibited. Then the Supreme Court went on in the City of Belleville case. They reiterated that when they said the purpose of the contiguity requirement is to permit the natural and gradual extension of boundaries which adjoin one another in a reasonably substantial physical sense.
Well, and I'm not going to, I certainly understand what you're saying and what that case was saying. And it's again in helping to fashion how cities and municipalities grow, which is different than the school districts. So I think my opinion is that that's apples and oranges. Certainly, I understand that there's disagreement with my opinion.
Yes, I appreciate your opinion.
But I get what you're saying. I'm just... In my mind, again, I go back to that very simplistic electricity tag game. If it's touching, then it's contiguous. It may not be compact. I may be 50 yards away from the home base, but I'm still touching if electricity is allowed in that game.
Yes.
In this, if 10-foot strips are my fellow tag players and one of them is on home base and I'm touching all of them, it's contiguous, not compact, but contiguous. So that was the only issue I took when you answered Justice Cates' question with, no, I don't believe it would be contiguous. I think contiguous, maybe. Compact, perhaps not.
So. Let me ask you a question, because I don't remember all my city attorney work when I did it. But in my recollection, just because something touches something else in the annexation world, that does not make it contiguous. And I may be wrong on that. But you cited the strip annexation cases in the municipality context. I assume you read them.
I did.
Is Justice Barberis' representation that just because you touch, it's contiguous correct?
Not according to the case law, which, you know, I understand that it deals with municipal infrastructure.
But my question to you directly, because I haven't read all those cases yet, is just because you touch something in the strip annexation municipality cases, my recollection is you are not contiguous under the law.
Right. Those cases do say that. Just because you touch something or corner something does not mean you are contiguous. Okay. It requires more.
Okay, that's what I thought. Any questions?
Okay. Oh, obviously thousands of questions, but not that I need to ask right now.
You don't have any time.
Right.
Okay. Thank you both for your arguments.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Yes. This is a very interesting case and obviously has a great impact on not just the family here, but school districts throughout the state of Illinois. So we take it very seriously. And for those of you in the audience who've never been here before, we appreciate you coming. But as you can see from your counsel's arguments, they're very passionate about the school districts and have represented you well. So we have to take this matter under advisement, which means that the court will confer on the legal arguments being presented here today, and then we will issue an order or an opinion, depending on the perspective of the court, the justices here, and that could take a few months, just so you know. It's not going to be tomorrow. But since you've not been through this, I wanted to make sure you understood that the expectations should not be high that it's going to be next week. Okay? So thank you, counsel, for your arguments here today. We appreciate it. The matter will be taken under advisement. We'll issue an order in due course.